This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hey friends, I'm Dan Foster. I'm pastor and host of the radio program Grace Thoughts. Grace Thoughts is heard on this great radio station from Monday through Friday at 12 noon during the lunch hour. Remember Jeremiah's famous prayer to God, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart."
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Krause and Crane Incorporated, celebrating 50 years of air conditioning service to the Martin County area. Since 1957, Krause and Crane certified technicians have serviced all makes and models of air conditioners and provides an energy savings agreement for any commercial or residential need. Krause and Crane, the service and replacement specialist with over 50 years of experience, is available 24 hours for emergency service at 287-1227.
Go back to that world, because you're going back to tyranny and you're going back to slavery. Back to your depression, back to your frustration, back to your perplexities, back to the challenges in your... Why would you want to go back, like the Bible says, like a dog returning back to his own vomit?
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue this series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children. So please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will review how God as... So please use discretion in allowing your... when he enjoyed a close relationship with Israel. Now here's Pastor Bernard with today's program, drawn with a compassionate and caring cord.
Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke of their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He shall not return unto the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king, because they refuse to return. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them because of their own counsel. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. Before we put a finger in and point a finger at Israel, we need to be pointing that finger at ourselves. Let's pray. Follow the truth of your word. It is sharp, it is quick, it is living. But you, Lord Jesus, you are the great physician. Again, you have surgery for us this morning. What better hands to be in? We ask that you would sever, remove the cancer of complacency and selfishness, ingratitude, hypocrisy. Lord, we have a whole lot of issues. That's why it takes a big God like you to address them. We're saying, God, we willfully now lay down on your operating table, and we trust you to do your work. It's in Jesus' name, for your glory we pray. Amen. 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 All right, let's start looking into this passage, shall we? Verses 1 and 2, what I want you to notice, if you're taking note, is that you have what I call God the Father's tender love for Israel. God the Father, because he is our Father. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, for example, to show the change of relationship, because in the Old Testament economy, you don't hardly hear the expression of Father God or Father. You hear the Most High God, the great and terrible God, the great I Am. But now we see Jesus modeling in the New Testament that when he prayed and taught us to pray, how did he teach us to pray again? He said, you address God this way, as your Father. And here in the Old Testament, we have a picture of a father reminiscing. Hosea points us back to a time in their relationship with God where it was a father-son relationship. And in verses 1 and 2, we're going to notice two different types of calls. You know, when you go home sometimes and it's evening and the phone rings, most likely around dinner time, it's either someone's trying to sell you something, and this time of year we have a pollster, or it might even be those creditors. You know, you get the phone call. And then we have caller ID so we can look and see if we're going to answer the call or not. But here, God is going to make a phone call, and then the world is going to make a phone call, and we're going to visit that in our text. Now, I want to touch on this thing about a child. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Again, don't miss this. Hosea is pointing us to a holy God that is reminiscing about the good days. He's reminiscing about when you were my child, the relationship we have. It was so beautiful. You depended on me. I carried you, but things have changed lately. Write this reference down if you take a note. Hosea 9:10 gives us a reflection of this wonderful relationship, what God thought about his young child, Israel. In Hosea 9:10, he said, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. The very best. It was a wonderful surprise to find you and to gather you in a place that's barren, in a place where the terrain is tough. I found some precious grapes with my people, Israel. But now the grapes are sour. I found you. See, in the beginning, this relationship, God again says, I want to show you something like a father loves and provides for his son and his children. I love my son. I called him out of Egypt. God remembers his tender love for Israel, and this happened 500 years before the time of Hosea. So 500 years earlier, Israel, God called them out of Egypt. And when you read your Bible, you know that Egypt is a picture or a portrait of the world. Even as we gather this morning, the Greek word is ekklesia. And ekklesia basically means what? Called out. So God has called us out to gather this morning. The passage also points to not only God's calling Israel out of Egypt, but it points to a prophetic future. The future of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you can look at it in Matthew chapter 2, verse 15. God did not allow Jesus to stay in Egypt, if you know the Christmas story. He called him out of Egypt. And in verse 2, there's another phone call I'd like to turn your attention to. As they call, that word they is the world. As they call, so they went from them, they sacrificed unto Balaam. Now, Balaam was a Canaanite deity, that a false god that they worshiped. Balaam was a god that they gave glory to for all their produce and their crops and their reproduction purposes and procreation. They gave credit to these pagan deities. And they burned incense to graven images, violating all the commandments of God when God told them that when he pulled them out of Egypt, you are not to identify, you are not to embrace, you are not to walk along and embrace the gods of the culture. I am the Lord thy God, O Israel, There's no other God like me. You ought to worship me and no other gods. However, what we have in this case is that they begin to adopt the gods of the culture. Again, in verse 1, there's a personal call from God. He calls Israel out of Egypt. He called them. What did he call them from, Pastor? Well, think about what happened with Israel. And I want you to make a personal application. Israel found themselves in Egypt under what I call suffocating servitude. They were oppressed daily, overt oppression. They were in slavery. They dined at the table of despair daily until he delivered them. Now I want you to think about your own life. When you eat the food of the world, when you dine at the table of the world, when you adopt their principles and their practices, don't go back to that world, because you're going back to tyranny and you're going back to slavery. Back to your depression, back to your frustration, back to your perplexities, back to the challenges in your. Why would you want to go back, like the Bible says, like a dog returning back to his own vomit? No matter how much money Madison Avenue placed in those commercials, no matter how much money that film producers and directors place on the big screen, don't you get captivated with it. A long time ago, an old preacher told me, here's the one thing about Satan. And he used a fishing analogy. And we got fishers here. He said, Satan presents this beautiful, attractive, enticing, luring, seems to be satisfying, fulfilling bait. But guess what he hides? The hook. He hides the hook. I can see it now with the brother or the sister who is looking for significance and value and identity. Oh, Israel thought God was boring, so they began to make their own gods and looking for a new identity, and it looked more refreshing. It looked more attractive. It didn't look like old theology. We want to do something new, but yet they're being hooked to a demon. That's the hook. So I submit to you, when the world calls, don't answer the phone. Don't you pick up the phone. Israel listened to the gods of this world and picked up that phone. Here's what the world says to us, church. Bear with me. Here's what the world says. The world calls us on the phone. And when you pick it up, here's what it's going to say. You're your own authority. God is not your authority. You're your own person. God's just a big, giant, cosmic killjoy. He doesn't want you to enjoy life. I mean, look at all your friends having a good time. Really? Yeah, the world calls us to what I call polluted pleasures outside of God, perverse pursuits. The world calls us to selfishness, and when we are selfish, we set up ourselves like God. And when you set yourself up like God, guess who you resemble? It's not your freedom to express yourself. It's not a wonderful, invigorating display of self-sufficiency. It's slavery. The world calls us, the God of this world calls us to speed down the streets of sexual sensuality. Fill yourself with fleshly lusts. Read the category in Galatians chapter 5 when you got homework. Fill yourself with idolatry and adultery and wickedness and wrath and strife and heresies and seditions. Oh, just eat your fill. Here's the problem. Not only will you get an upset stomach spiritually, but you'll also sicken your soul, and you'll find yourself sickened to know that you'll forever be separated from a holy God. The Bible makes it very clear. When you practice those things, you will ever be separated from God. Paul spells out in Galatians, he said, those I told you before that practice the things of the world, the cares of the world, you would not inherit eternal life. So again, when the world calls, hang up, because there's nothing but hell on the other side of the line. But when God calls, there's heaven on the other side of the line. Pick up that phone and you will get the answers that you need. How many of you guys believe that? Answer that phone. Some of you guys are, oh, call ID. Who is it? God. I ain't got time for him. He's just going to tell me something I don't want. He's going to deprive me of something I've been chasing. God, I know what I'm supposed to do, but right now, can you cut me some slack? God, I don't. You know what we do in the flesh. And the devil is just, he just, that a boy. Keep going, girl. Keep going. Don't you listen to that lying heart of yours and that liar, that devil. When God calls, he calls us. And I know right now, he's calling us, like I said a couple Sundays ago. There is something on somebody's heart. He's pointing your attention to it. And guess what? He keep calling you and keep calling your heart and calling your mind. And he's only getting a busy signal. Because you're too busy, just like Israel, listening to the gods of their world, listening to Balaam. Now let's move to verse 3 and 4 now. In verses 3 and 4, we see, even though you're hanging up on God, not listening, we still get God's caring and compassionate chords. Caring and compassionate chords that he enjoys and he has to offer us. Verse 3 and 4, look at this compassion. Again, another portrait of a child and how delicately God raised us up. Look at this in verse 3 and 4. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. Verse 4, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke of their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. I taught Ephraim how to go. In other words, God says, I showed you, taught you how to walk away from this world and not turn back. I remember when you were crippled. I remember when you were crawling. And a picture I have here is that of my firstborn, BJ. And when, you know, when you bring that baby into the world, and for a little bit, they're just on their belly. Then they learn how to balance themselves and roll a little bit. Then they do the little scooting thing. And then all of a sudden, they want to crawl. And then they're looking to walk. And no child walks alone. When they first begin to take their steps, you, mama, dad, you take your strong arms. And what do? You balance them and you hold them up and guide them and walk them through. Remember that? There was a time in my life and there was a time in your life where God grabbed you by your hands. Because the only walking and only crawling was on your belly with the things of this world. And God called you, picked you up, and he began to carry you and balance you. Now you're like the wayward child. I don't need you, God. I got this. I got this. I can walk myself. I need God to always keep his hands on me. Are you? And God says, I grab you and I carried you. And you realize it was I that is doing the healing. I'm doing the blessing. You know, God is always doing exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask everything. How many of you guys know that? But unfortunately, sometimes we act like we're not aware where the blessings came from. Sometimes we attribute the blessing that God gives us to our employer, to our government, to somebody else's hands. We give them all the credit. We hear all the gainsayers and all the people that are anti-God say, stop, why you Christians thank God? God didn't have anything to do with this degree. God didn't have anything to get this accomplishment. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't have a sound mind to get the things that you're getting. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there's no way you could have attained and arrived at your positions. How many of you guys know that? That's my car. No, that's not your car. That's my house. No, that's not your house. This is my life. No, that's definitely not your life. He bought that. It is God that does and bless and carries every good thing that come in our life. Again, don't bless somebody else's hands. Make sure you bless the Lord. Taking him, verse 3, again, supporting that little child as he make that awkward step. And while he was supporting him, he says, now that I drew you, I began to pull you with gentle cords, compassionate cords, taking you by the hand, showing you right and wrong, showing you that this creation that I've made, and I want you to have dominion over it, but I also want you to conduct yourself where I am glorified in your life. I drew you with compassionate cords of love. Here's the thing about God, and this will help you with a church when you're looking for a church. God does not use he does not use manipulation or coercion. God does not use exploitation. God uses gentle love. He wants your will. He wants to woo you. Stop trying to make formulas to get close to God. God will not force himself on nobody. He wants the will. It's like when I wanted Gloria to love me, I couldn't force her to love me. I couldn't buy her. I couldn't manipulate her. I wanted her value of love, that's not because she artificially manufactured the love. I want her, to key word, to willfully love me back. God says, I want you to willfully love me back. I got gentle cords waiting. I'm calling. I want you. Do you want me? And that's what he was doing. He said, now that I'm your burden bearer. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we have a picture of an animal here, that jaws of the neck, the yoke, you know, that yoke that's heavy on that beast of burden that he's being pulled and plowed. He's plowing and pulling. And he says, I'm going to lighten that yoke a little bit. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take it off your neck. I'm going to take it out of your mouth, and we're going to let you rest a little bit. I don't know about you, but I found absolute rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about your yoke right now. What you biting on? God says, give it to me. Israel, this refers to a relaxing and the loosening of a yoke collar so you can breathe. Anybody suffocating right now? Take a deep breath. Breathe. Breathe with God. Stop breathing and walking with the world. God says, not only did I release your burden, I took the yoke away from you. First, I carried you. I walked you like a little child. Next thing, he says, guess what? I've been down, came down from heaven to make sure that you had something to eat. Great, mighty God, all powerful, all knowing, all seeing, comes down to make sure that you have your provisions. He says, Israel, I stopped by to feed you. I humbled myself to minister to you on a regular basis. You would think God Almighty, all high, dignified, magnificent, and glorious in power, as Isaiah said, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, exalted, that this God still prioritizes you personally. And he has food for you. Food that the world can't give. So God says, I love you, and I humbled myself to invest in you. Israel, will I get the right response? Look at verse 5 through 7. God moves from that compassionate cord language and the wooing. Then he says, I'm holy, and I'm a father, and a good dad. What will he do to his children when they act up? Discipline them. God would discipline his children. I know we don't like that conversation, but it's a reality. God chastens those that he loves, the Bible says. If he doesn't chasten you, the Bible says you're just an orphan. You have no dad. But I admit, I don't want to go to the woodshed. And I know I'm not the only one in here. But yet my Father loves me enough and loves you enough to correct you. And God says, yeah, you're my child. I got to correct you. That's what we find in verses 5 through 7. We see a disciplinary hand toward Israel. Because truth be told, can you have love without discipline? No. If God does not discipline you, if you had no discipline in your life from a parent, the irony is, and it's twisted, that the parents think that if I just give them stuff, and do, God says, no, you got to correct that behavior. We know it. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he should not depart. Proverbs 22:6. But God set that in motion. God chastens, he spanks. And here's what we see in verse 5 through 7. Write this statement down for meditation, verse 5 through 7. Poverty-filled profession brings the punishment of God. Poverty-filled profession brings the punishment of God. Let me explain. You could profess to God, but yet it's just empty. There is no real sincerity. You're not really taking the initiative. And what we have is that Israel calls out to God and asks God to, but yet there's nothing legitimate, there's nothing genuine, there's nothing in their professions. It's just empty. It's poverty. And the reason why it's impoverished, because they don't enjoy contrition and humility. How many of you guys know you want some serious work in your behalf, God? Go to him with some humility. Not with any pride. Look at the consequences of that. Verses 6 through 7. He was calling them to repent, and they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Verses 6 and 7. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them because of their own counsel. Why is the sword coming? The Assyrian nation is coming out. The army of the Assyrians will come down on you, Israel. Why? Because you sought the counsel of the world. You disqualified me, Israel. And I give wisdom, and out of my mouth come knowledge and understanding. But I guess I wasn't sophisticated enough for you, Israel. You rather listen to the man that has all the letters by his name and communicates and uses all these 250 different therapeutic approaches. You want to go to the man that a man-centered understanding. When you know when you go to man-centered counseling, that counseling will always benefit the exaltation of man versus exalting God. How many of you guys know that?
We thank you for joining us today for the first part of Pastor Bernard's message, drawn with a compassionate and caring cord. In today's message, Pastor Bernard discussed how God, as a loving Father, desires to have a relationship with His children. God loves us with a gentle love. He does not force Himself upon us. Instead, He allows us to make the willful decision to respond to His attempt to have a relationship with us. God's love is personal, and He prioritizes a relationship with each one of us. Are you making your relationship with Him a priority? Are you responding to His love for you? Or are you ignoring Him so that you can pursue fleshly desires? To learn more about a right relationship with God, visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We would love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for the continuation of this message during our next program on Saturday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and make a donation to support this work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.